Hey guys, welcome back to episode 214. We are diving into how the devil is in our emotions when it comes to running our business. Let's dive in. Is the devil in business? Really, the devil in a lot of things, okay? Emotions, and not just any emotion, but really the lower vibrational emotions like fear, worry, doubt, scarcity, not having enough of, those are all fears. And I'll share with you guys one of those lower vibrational things that I had to experience in my own business. And, you know, it was an emotion that kind of plagued me for 2 years. And it's the idea of knowing that I needed to hire a virtual assistant. For the longest time, I was doing everything on my own, sending out my own emails, charging my own clients. Every month, I would charge my clients and do everything on my own. And the problem with that is that, and I also did lead generation on my own. I have a Facebook, 2 communities that I manage on my own at the time. And when I realized I needed help, I didn't allow myself to do it. In fact, I came up with all sorts of reasons as to why I didn't hire a virtual assistant, an executive assistant. It took me 2 years to kind of get out of that thought process. And the 2 years, it just, you know, I just went with my business, grew my business, served my clients, did my marketing, did my accounting, pretty much all the hats that you wear when you're a one-person show. And finally, at the top of the year, well, all last year, I was looking for the perfect virtual assistant, and there's no really perfect VA until you get them in and train them. That's when you cultivate and create your own, very own personal virtual assistant. So anyway, finally got myself a VA, which now is an executive assistant to me, but it took me 2 years to get over the fear of now there's just more than me now. The fear of, I gotta really make this business work so I can pay that other person who's working the business. And that is the emotions, right? We call the devil in stopping our growth. Had I hired a virtual assistant 2 years ago, where would my business be at? And that's the kind of thought process where I want you guys to think. Where are you at hiring people? Are you scared to hire people? Are you scared to expanding your company? Are you afraid of bringing on more people into your company, even if they're on commission base? Hi, Cindy, I hope you're doing well. When you look into the emotions of every single decision, right? For example, the VA thing for me, it took me 2 years to finally pull the trigger on a VA and really commit to training my VA, being patient with them, really showing them the ropes, really trusting, you know, that once I open up the doors to whatever it is that she has access to, that I won't get bit in the ass, right? And letting go of that control and that sense of control. And if she does make a mistake, she makes a mistake and we learn from it and we grow together. But not necessarily from the standpoint of, this is the reason why I didn't hire a VA, this is the reason why I shouldn't have hired a VA. But instead, the idea is that now that I've decided to hire my virtual assistant, executive assistant help, life has been a lot easier for me. I don't do a lot of the things that I used to and spend a lot of time on. She helps me tremendously. But what I had to do was I had to let go of the sense of control within my business. Because now I had to let go of my emails. Like all my emails, I have to make sure she can do them. And she gets guided through that whole process. But a part of that also is the training. Right? You got to be patient enough to train your organization to perform at the level you want. But in order for them to perform at the level you want, number one, we have to incentivize them, right? So I have an incentivized package for my VA where if she does a certain amount of things, she gets paid on that, and incentivizing them. And then also, what's the other one? I just had it in my head. Training them to do the things that you no longer need to do. And there has to be some leeway on mistakes, because mistakes will happen, right? For example, sending out emails, booking appointments, there are going to be some stuff there that may have been, you know, miscommunication, or maybe it's like a learning thing that you have to do, like a learning curve that you still have to train on, and having that patience to be okay with some of the mistakes that might happen. And a part of this is that not only do I have the pressure to pay my executive assistant, now I have to have the pressure of, you know, rendering a level of compassion to her as well. And, you know, I hope she's not watching this, and she will, probably. I love, love, love her so far. We've been really rocking and rolling. She's been helping me so much. But there has been moments where it's like, what's happening? Right? Like, well, what is this? But I cannot get too crazy, because I know that she has well intentions, right? And also, in order for me to get the kind of assistant I want, I need to nurture that relationship. And I also need to put firm boundaries down, and also train her on every single thing and hold her hand along the way. Right? And that is one of the biggest things to growing a business. You have to be able to do that. But also, not only do you want to do that during the training process, it's also the onboarding process, which I think, Cindy, you're still on. We talked about this today. The onboarding process is really important, because if they don't know what they get, not with just like a paycheck, well, what are the things that they can get? Like, for example, my VA, my assistant, gets bonuses at the end of each month. If she hits a certain thing, she gets an extra X, Y, and Z. If she hits this, she gets an extra X, Y, and Z on her check. You know, and that's the kind of incentives that promotes long-term, like longevity with people who work with you in your company. But then also it gives them that like, ooh, let me reach that. You know, ooh, let me see if I can hit that mark. And you have to have these kind of like marks for them to hit, or else they just come in and they think like, okay, you know, I just do my job and that's it. No, you do your job, but you also have to exceed and perform at a level where you can hit your bonuses, right? So how can you incentivize your team, your help, the people that help you, and the people around you, right? So even with our kids, my husband does this thing where we do, a five FAQ things on Fridays. Every Friday they have to come up with five fun facts. And it could be anything that they learned, watched, something like educational. And they get a thing out of it. They can either get like a cool arcade day, a movie night, maybe some money if it's really good. So see how it is an incentivized thing, where if you hit the five fun facts on Friday, you get a thing out of it. And that's the thing about human nature, guys. People are selfish. But as an employer or as a contractor, for me, like I contract my assistant, right? She's a contractor, but I also have to know that she wants to get hers, and hers is essentially money, right? People are motivated by money. So how can you motivate people to do the thing, to do a really great job, and at the end of that is whatever the bonus is? And you have to create a plan around that. So like, for example, if she books me strategy sessions with new potential clients, she makes money off of that. And so she's here looking for people. She is out here going through all of the strategies we have, and she's rocking and rolling on, you know, finding prospects and finding good quality prospects to come my way, because she gets paid on that. You see how it's an incentivized system that we have. So I want you guys to think, how can I incentivize the people that are in my company so that they don't feel bored or, you know, feeling like, you know, this is not enough money or whatever it is. So you have to think about, what can I do? How can I excite the people in my company to perform really well? Okay. And then now another thing for emotions being the devil is that it's really easy to go into the thought processes of our lives, right? So if we think, like, for example, what I had thought, remember, before I hired my assistant, I went on a 2-year thing where I didn't have an assistant. And then I was thinking, like, who can I really trust to do this? That's what I was thinking the whole 2 years. Who can I really trust to do this? What do I need to do? Like, what do I need to let go of in order for me to have an assistant? And then how many clients do I need to be able to pay her, right? And those were the three, like, biggest things, because then those three things, if you look at it, it's connected to a lower vibration. The lower vibration is, well, what if I give her all these things and she screws me over, right? You know, because there's a lot of power she has. Assistants have power, right? They know your passwords to things. They know they can literally, like, fuck with your accounts, and the next thing you know, you lose everything. Like, they can literally mess with your shit and your whole business can fucking fail. So there was a control thing for me, right? Because there's a ton of things that you have to almost let go of when you do hire an assistant. Now, this isn't a video on hiring an assistant. This is more a talk about, what is the bullshit you believed in? Or, well, that I believed in about hiring an assistant. That's the bullshit I believed in, right? Now, if you don't have a good hiring process, understanding who you're hiring, maybe even doing a real background check, calling the references, doing all of the things, then you are going to put yourself in a position where you bring on wrong people. But if you have a system where you do a background check, you call the references, you might even want to call the 2 past employers. Like, if you thoroughly follow those steps, you'll know exactly the kind of candidate you're bringing into your company, you see? But the moment you only take their word for it, oh, your resume looks great, your vibe is great, and that's it, that's a problem. We have to do our due diligence when we bring on people into our company. Now, another thing is, emotions can cause us to not problem solve well, right? You know, there was a time where it's like a really bad time. A really bad time was when, I think this was when, I had recently broken up with an ex-boyfriend of mine in my early 20s. And I had a credit card, right? A credit card of, like, I think it was $1,000 on this credit card, the limit. And I was so upset. I was so emotional, and I really wanted to, like, lash out and, like, cut my hair, dye it, like, blonde and, like, get crazy. But I was too scared to cut my hair, so I didn't cut my hair. Instead, I went to a Christian Louboutin store and bought Christian Louboutin red bottoms. Bought those, and those were about $800, and plus taxes was like maybe 80, 90 bucks on that. So I maxed out my credit card because I wanted these Christian red bottoms, but all because of emotions, you see? And was it worth the shoes? I gotta say it was, but had I really thought about what I was doing, and knowing what I know now, would I have stopped myself from actually doing that? Probably in that moment, because it came from a lower vibrational place, right? It came from a, let me show you. Like, come on, Maria, you just got some rub on. Who are you showing off to, right? But as a young 20-something-year-old, I really felt like I was doing something impulsive. You see how emotions can really cause you to be impulsive? It can cause you to do and spend money you don't need to. It can also cause you to delay decisions. And I think for me, the biggest thing I do, and I will own this, is that I'm very impulsive. Not so much now. I think I really take the time to make a decision and really think things through. But there was a time where I would make decisions like this, like, bam, I'm quitting this job, going to the next job. Bam, I'm going to drop $1,000 on a pair of shoes. And those quick decisions really take away from being able to see the consequences in things, right? And when you lack the consequences, being able to see the consequences in things, that is when you just kind of let your emotions take over you. And when you don't have a strong hold on your emotions, kind of almost like taking it, putting it aside, letting it sit there, and knowing what you need to do. Like knowing what it is, what are the next steps to solve this problem? What are the next steps? And in business, it's really easy to get our emotions so enthralled. For example, when you go into sales and you start talking to people and enrolling them into working with you, if you are afraid of the rejection part of that, and that's probably 90% of what everyone's afraid of, is like people saying no to you. You're allowing that emotion to stop you from actually being successful in sales, right? So I have always said in sales, in order for you to be successful, you actually have to use that fear of rejection and use that as fuel to move you forward. So instead of it holding you down, almost turn that energy into like, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show whoever says no to me and whoever believes that I'm not worthy, or why is she doing this and that? I'm gonna use that as fuel to move my business forward. And same thing for the emotions that kind of get us in like a bind, right? Like if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel like this heavy feeling in your chest, because it's just one of those moments where it's like, oh, you know, like, come on, like another one, like another problem I have to solve. But honestly, when you get really good at solving problems, your life moves faster, okay? So anytime you have a roadblock and you figure out how to move that roadblock, demolish the roadblock, explode the roadblock, maybe you're moving down the path with a tractor now and you can actually move the blocks pretty easily, you actually go down your path faster. But the more you get stuck and look at the block, and we're talking about this as an analogy here. If you look at the block and you're like blaming the universe, blaming even yourself, blaming other people, and you're sitting there looking at this huge block in front of you, you're really not taking the steps to move forward, right? And that is when we want to ask ourselves, do we love kind of complaining about the thing? Like, is there a thing that you get when you complain about it? Does it feel good? Does it feel like you just gotta vent it out? Then once you're done venting, then you can solve the problem. Because I think that is a part of being a woman. I think we have to vent a little bit when it comes to like our emotions. That's why I think even like in our relationships with men or whatever relationship you're in, usually it's like we just want our spouse to listen. We don't need them to give us a solution. We just want to vent, right? Now that is healthy when you let you vent and then let it go. But if you vent and you hold on to the thing, that is when you're just kind of repeating the same pattern over and over and over again. So if you're repeating the same thing over and over and over again, that means you haven't let go of something. And that's where you have to think, well, what is it that I'm holding on to? What is the belief that I'm holding on to? For example, back to my hiring an assistant, a VA. I hired three in the past, prior to the 2 years of me not, I'm like, you know what? I quit on hiring VAs. I hired three in the past and I was manifesting not quality VAs. I was manifesting people that kind of was just doing their own things. Like I remember this lady was supposed to do outreach for me and she was just doing her own outreach. Like she didn't follow the guidelines on how to do outreach. She was just like just doing whatever she wanted to do. She created her own little fucking instructions on how to do my business. And it was like, what the fuck? What happened? We clearly stated you got to do all of these things and look for all of these things before you do any outreach on these accounts. But I manifested that. I manifested that because of my lack of trust in these people, right? And I didn't know that until now. Now that I actually have a permanent executive assistant who helps me, and like, you know, I understand emotionally, there's things to that, right? Like I said, there has to be some patience. There's a learning curve. There's also set boundaries. There is also understanding that, you know, you got to repeat yourself more than once sometimes, and it's okay. And that doesn't mean they're not qualified. That just means you have to nurture that a little bit more. But in the past, you know, I would look at all these people that I would bring into my company, and I just look at them with disappointment. Like, and then I even thought to myself, actually, I'm remembering what I was saying. Maybe it's not time that I have this. You know, and I convinced myself that I could do this, all the things I do and all the things I did do, all on my own. I convinced myself that I could do it all on my own. And, you know, I could, but it just didn't feel like the business I really wanted, right? Now, if you're in that place, I just want you to know, what is the thing that you think you're holding on to? So for me, when I was in that place, I was holding on to the belief that people have my back. Like, what if I hire someone who really doesn't have my back and then they screw me over? That's number one. And then number two is the sense of control. Now I gotta let go of the control. Now I gotta make sure when they send out emails, they send out the right emails, right? Like, there's a lot of control that you have to let go. And I had to let go of those two things. The belief that whoever I bring on won't really have my back. And number two was letting go of control. So what does that mean? I needed to learn how to trust, right? Trust that whoever I bring on, I create a system where they do the business, they do the thing, but I can also have an in to see things are doing being done right. Right? Because there's still, you know, you can't just like give everybody this person access to everything and then not make sure things are getting done right. You also have to go in and check. And a part of that is the systems you put in place, which I was able to develop in December. And that's how come in January I have now my amazing help, my amazing assistant. So I had to let go of control, and in place of letting go of control was trusting. And then the second was believing that whoever I decided to bring on are really great quality people because I did my due diligence in onboarding them, you see? So the emotions part, if we look at the emotions part, we just have to think about, well, what isn't working? Right? So if what is not working is like you don't trust somebody, well, how can you create a system where they can still execute the business, but you can still peek in and see, did she do that right? Did she send that email right? Did she do all the things I'm asking her to do on a daily basis? You can have a checks and balances system so that you can develop that trust over time. You know, the first month, I was really worried. Like, oh my God, I hope, like, you know, no crazy shit happened. But then I finally let it go. And it's like, you know what? If something crazy happens, I will manage it. If something, and that's probably one of the biggest things, is that just to believe that you can handle it. If you're, and I said this in the past, if someone were to ever, if my business failed today, like let's just say I close down my business, I let go of all my clients, no more Maria Henderson business coach. If something happened like that, my whole world turned upside down, you know, everything, like my whole world turned upside down, had to live on the streets, figure it all out. My brain knows so much shit that got me here that I can do it all over again. And over again, and over again, and over again. So if I know this, what the fuck am I scared of? Right? I know how to get clients. I know how to sell. I know how to talk. I know how to package my shit. I know how to market. I know shit. So if something were to ever happen and I lose everything, I can handle it. If you really look at it from that standpoint, right? So I want you guys to think about it from that standpoint. What are you really afraid of? What are you really afraid of? Potentially losing everything? Cool, because if you lose everything, guess what happens? You get back to it and you go get it again. And usually when you lose everything and you go get it again, you get even more because you did it before. I remember a time where I don't know if you guys know this story. I haven't said it in a long time, but my very, very first business endeavor was I used to incorporate businesses. That's how come I have experience in it when my clients ask me about it, right? How do I create an LLC? How do I do an EIN? I used to do that in my 20s for a business development company. And I got really good at it. So I decided to start my own business doing that. And it failed. When I put the business plan together, we had an investor for $50,000. Someone invested $50,000 towards the business, which was bananas. I was like really young at the time. And I remember thinking that, you know, there has to be like a God that this is happening, right? And so what happened was I got this business together. Got the $50,000. I was like probably 22, 23 years old, really young. And it flopped. My business flopped. I wasn't mature enough. I blew the money. The $50,000 was gone. In like, I swear, 6 to 10 months, it was gone. Me and my business partner, she was a best friend of mine. The worst idea, going into business with a friend, worst idea ever. We no longer talk, that relationship is gone. Anyway, we got the $50,000, spent $10,000 at Apple. Because why? We wanted these fancy computers and these fancy like printers and all of these fancy like shit. We spent $8,000 on a website. Back in 2005, 2006, you guys, I had no clue how to run a website, let alone like know what the URL was. We didn't even know what the website was, like www dot what, who knows? Like at the time we were just like, yeah, that's about right, let's get a website. We didn't know nothing about nothing, and we spent all this money was gone. 8 to 10 months, and I quit my job to get this business running. I wasn't mature enough, obviously. I just said that I got my, they took my apartment, I couldn't pay for my apartment. My car got repossessed, literally lost everything. I had $50,000 in the bank from the investors 1 year, the next year, gone. Everything was gone. I was sitting in my cousin's couch. Actually let me stay there for like 6 months until I got my shit together. He felt so bad for me. But I lost everything. Literally, like at a young age, did this business thing, lost it all. Luckily, I didn't have a family, I didn't have kids. So the drawback or the failure in that was just me. But it hit so hard because I went through depression during that time just because I had such high hopes for myself and my life that I convinced myself that maybe I'm just not made to be a business owner. Little do I know, I just wasn't mature enough. You know, I just needed to be mature. I needed to make the right decisions, not because of trying to impress people, but because it's a right business decision, right? So anyway, that is the moment where I came from nothing. I had nothing to my name. I think I was like rocking with a bag of like clothes. Like I had nothing, and I had my phone still. So I had to pay for my phone. I don't know how I was paying for my phone, but I was, I had a phone, and I had to start my life over from that point on. And that's why I say, if everything was taken away from you right now, And I actually created my, I recreated my life from there. I got a really amazing job at this hospitality company in the Valley. I live in Vegas, so this hospitality company was super well known. We had locations in New York, in Dubai, we had locations in China, and here in Vegas. And a part of that, I was the youngest manager they hired on, and I was making really great money. Like I was like, damn, this is actually not too bad working for a company, right? Coming from like losing my car and my apartment, I finally got my shit together, started working for this company, and I paid all my debt off, got me a new car, got me a Mercedes-Benz at the time, because that's what was my thing. Like I was trying to be like flashy, and that was what everyone else was driving in the company. So I got that too. And I got my apartment. I got everything back, right? But, and the reason why I'm sharing this is because it's almost like if you're afraid of losing everything, that's actually the last thing you should be worried about. Because when you lose everything, you just recreate it back. Any business owner that has had a successful business, if their business flops, they can go and start another business, and that business can be 10 times better just because you're smarter. You know how business runs. You know what you're supposed to do. You know the accounting side. You know how to deal with vendors. You know how to deal with clients. Like, you're just smarter the second time around. Even when I started my business 5 years ago, I know my shit now. I know, like, hey, before I invest, I gotta make sure this is a profitable investment, right? Is it gonna bring me back a return? Is it helping and nurturing my company forward? Or am I just doing this just to show off, right? Just like the $10,000 purchase I got from Apple. I was doing that to show off. I literally was just doing that just to be like, look what we got, right? Showing off. Do I need that? No. Could I have used like a refurbished type of technology for a third of the price? Absolutely. Thank you, honey. And okay, I will look over this today. Okay, kids' homework. So if you think about if you just lose stuff, if you lose a thing, or if you lose the business, if you lose your place, if you lose whatever it is, you are so well equipped to recreating it 300,000 times better the next time around. Always, always. That's why there was a show I was watching yesterday, and it was like a stallion. In order for a horse to become a stallion, they actually have to be broken first. Meaning like they have to like endure so much before they become that stallion. They don't just be born as stallions. You are created to be that. And that's why they say it's the journey, right? It's the journey in our business that causes us to be 100,000-aires, 500,000-aires, billionaires, millionaires. It's the journey. It's the person we become along the way. And if our emotions get in the way of the journey, we're not able to make the solutions happen for ourselves. Now, if I were to reverse time and I had my business back in 22 years old, and I had that $50,000 and I know all the things I know now, I would have used that $50,000 way differently. I would have probably used it for lead generation, because that's really the biggest thing here for business. In order for you to be super successful, you need to have a successful lead gen system where you get prospects into your company, where they know you, where they start seeing your emails, seeing who you are. For example, my lead gen is my Podcasting for Women in Business group, which now is being managed by my assistant, which I'm so relieved because that was a lot of work for me. But a part of that, you guys, is had I known all of this, I would have dumped all that money on lead gen, marketing, advertising, right? I didn't know any of that. So I spent half of the money on equipment. On fucking equipment. what did I say? $10,000 on Apple. An $8,000 website. Gone. $8,000 gone on a fucking website that I didn't need. I didn't even know how to run. Right? And I can't even tell you anymore. I don't even know where the rest of the money went. But a lot of it went to buying equipment and then eating out. Oh, we went and did networking events. And we had to spend $50 to do these networking events at every night. Dinner networking events that spent like $100 here and there on those. A waste of fucking money. Because networking events only work if you know how to network. And at the time, I had no clue how to network. I would get business cards, didn't follow up with anybody. And all I do now is I follow up with email. Email, text messages, social media content. Every mistake I made back in the day, I learn how to improve in my current business now. And so I say, if you're afraid of losing everything, goddamn, you will recreate it 300,000 times better the next time around. I guarantee it. You're smarter. You're wiser. You even have like a sense of like, you know what? I have nothing to lose at this point. You know, when I started I worked at that hospitality company. I literally went into this organization owning nothing. I owned nothing. My cousin took me to work every day for the first 3 months until I was able to get my car. Then 3 months later, I was able to save up for a deposit for my apartment. I was able to recreate my life again after I lost that business. But boy, did it suck, because it hurt. And you know what the painful part of it was? The embarrassment. That was it. Losing my car? All right, yeah, that sucked. Because now I got to ask for rides. Losing my place? Okay, that's probably, I don't want to not have a place. But the most important one that really stuck with me is the embarrassment. Right? See, Maria? You're not smart enough to do it. That's what I thought everyone was thinking about me. I was thinking that about myself. Right? But it's the embarrassment of what other people will think of you. And then 18 months later, came back with all my shit together, started my life over, and now I'm here. And I just want to pour into you guys with that self-belief that you can do all of it. You can do whatever you want. But I don't want it to be where you have to lose everything for you to get it. You know what I mean? Like, get it now. Get that right now. Your emotions are just that, your emotions. All you gotta do is put on your thinking cap. Okay, what are the solutions I need to find? All right, if this is the problem, what's the solution? If you don't have someone in your corner to help you with those solutions, DM me, because you need that. Because those solutions is all that is just steps, right? Step one, do this. Step two, do that. Step three, do that. All it is just like activities, calling people. Right? Calling people, making sure shit adds up. Taking the steps to move your business forward. Remove the emotions, because the emotions is what gets you. And I don't want shit to fall to the wayside for anybody until they get that. I would rather you just do the thing, solve the problem, make it happen. And then that's it. And then you scale. Okay? All right, you guys. I got to do spelling homework with my kids. Today's words is loudly, joyfully, closely. I'm just kidding. We're not going all through these words. But I got to do that with them. I got to do practice on spelling words. And then we're off for the week. No coaching calls. I think my clients got that email from my assistant on items to cover, but we're on next week. And then this week, if anyone has questions, please DM me, email me, or text me, whichever way we're communicating. I wanna say thank you so much for whoever's on here. Have a great evening. Mwah.
If you enjoyed this show, please remember to subscribe, like, and share. If you are interested in collaborating, please send me an email, info@talkswithmaria.com.